Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, host Fred Monroe is joined by the founder, program director, and a rising star alumni of Infinite Music. Infinite Music seeks to introduce and add music to the lives of all young people on the Central Coast, both in and outside of school. Over the years, as educational funding has become more limited, music often is one of the very first areas to face funding challenges. We're inviting you to listen, learn, and participate in our conversation today. We are able, once again, to take your live calls at 805-781-3875. And with that, let's get the conversation started and pass it over to Fred and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. Glad to be with you today. Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. Our goal is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our communities. Central Coast Voices addresses how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. And frankly, we like to look at it from a standpoint of how today's choices affect today's community too, which is part of our discussion today. It's no secret music is an outstanding educational tool for young people, but over the years, as educational funding has become more limited, music is often one of the first areas to face funding challenges. Infinite Music, that we'll talk about a lot today because the organization we are hosting today is Infinite Music, is focused on innovative learning that exposes young people to music both in and out of school. They are a small yet dedicated group of passionate musicians, music lovers, and educators and advocates committed to fulfilling the mission of transforming kids' lives through music. Join me today as we talk with Sarah Mason. She is the Infinite Music founder and director, Jim Venko, who is the Infinite Music program coordinator, and Justine Ruby Mayo, who is a student participant in Infinite Music's Rising Star program. And stick around because we actually have some recorded music from Justine, and we'll give you some idea of how the program has helped her in her life as part of the discussion. You're invited to listen and learn and participate. We would encourage you to call in, but call in early in the program if you have interest in questions of my guests or observations about music in the public school system or the private school system. Again, the phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. Why don't we start with maybe some background on how in the world some small nonprofit organization based in Morro Bay became this involved in music? And as my guests know, I kind of leave them to themselves to decide who gets to talk about what first. But my hunch is I'll probably hear from Sarah.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Fred, for being here today. Are you asking how Infinite Music got started or what was the inspiration behind it?
Yes, because you are not an invisible nonprofit for those of us interested in the music community. But to say that you are under the radar for a lot of people who do not have kids in school or kids available to learn music, I'm now in my great-grandchildren who happen to live in Alaska, so I don't have any children in school locally. But you are a very, very active program with a lot of enthusiastic people in the community behind it, both as student musicians and as adults who are dedicated to music.
Yes, we are. And, our philosophy is that we really, truly believe every child, every young person deserves the opportunity to experience what we call the life-changing power of music, because we know when they're introduced to it at a young age, they simply do better in school and life, and that's because of all of music's intrinsic benefits.
So, but what started the – what specifically – I guess that's a philosophical answer.
True.
I maybe would like a logistical answer too, because one of the things that's helpful for our listeners is the success of nonprofits that are not major national organizations becomes a very important factor for a lot of our listeners.
Right. Actually, you know, it started very organically. I grew up in a musical household, five kids. We all had our own instrument of study. My oldest brother studied violin and saxophone in his youth, and then he developed an ear for self-instruction on guitar and piano. He was very inspiring to the rest of us as that fellow that could go sit down and play the piano by ear while the rest of us had, you know, formal lessons. But he was certainly the inspiration because as he furthered his career in training and development and later becoming an academic dean, music and education were his two key passions. And he used his music, his guitar, as a way to as a tool, you know, for collaboration and common ground when he would go to speak to executives that he was training. And he said, you know, Sarah, music really breaks down barriers and promotes unity. So unfortunately, he was diagnosed with ALS, which is a motor neuron disease, a terminal motor neuron disease. He passed a year later after his diagnosis. And as my way of turning, grief into a positive, I founded Infinite Music and to have it be more as a tribute to my brother, but also to, being inspired by his love and his musical legacy, transfer that on to others.
For a lot of us who've paid attention to music in public school for a long time, I shared with you before the program, but I'll share it with our listeners. I had a wonderful high school experience in band and marching band as a percussionist because it was the only instrument I think I could understand. And graduated high school in 1969. By the mid-70s, the band teacher for my high school was not an employee. He was a senior student at the school because there was no longer enough money to pay a band leader. And that was in the early 70s. I wonder how we ended up getting there then, but we are obviously in a lot of cases there now. San Luis County seems to do a better job of having real music teachers in our high schools, but it still isn't enough. I'm wondering how the evolution of that program, your program, has tied in with what the schools are doing or what you can do to augment what the schools are not doing.
Right. Well, we really say that our purpose is really to fill in the gaps where music education and enrichment also are missing. It's not as it was when you and I went to school, Frank. You know, I call Fred, Frank. They both begin with an F. When I went to school, we referred to it kind of as the golden age of music education. I mean, every student had the opportunity to study an instrument, get an instrument. That accessibility, that affordability is not available today. And that's truly where Infinite Music comes in because we want to break down those barriers, connect students. We do that connecting students with instruments, with private instruction, with mentorship, with performance opportunities that not only support their artistic development, but also their personal development. And Justine probably could tell you what that opportunity has looked like from her perspective.
Yeah, I'd like to share stuff about that. I'm really glad Infinite Music exists as like a way for students to have access to a lot of like personalized like instruction, especially you guys are very open to different musicians of different levels, like beginner, like I was this year learning classical guitar, and like intermediate, like I was playing saxophone. And I'm really glad Infinite Music is that resource for a bunch of students who often can't afford like private lessons to better their craft and just to improve themselves. Yeah.
Justine, you appear from the information I have from you so far to have gotten involved in this from a standpoint of a vocalist first. Was that the most readily available path for you first?
What do you mean by that? Could you elaborate more?
Well, you do not need to learn how to play an instrument in order to be a vocalist. You need to learn how to basically exercise your own voice. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, and we'll talk about it further, you evolved from being a vocalist to being a saxophone player to being a guitar player and a singer. And it seems like an interesting entry point to be a vocalist first.
I think I chose vocal arts more because when I started trying to be more of a musician, I started singing in the talent show, at my elementary school, and transitioning from elementary school to middle school, I got introduced to choir, which was a really great way to a different way for me to sing in technique wise, just having to blend with other people, which is why I really liked working with my friend Jocelyn. One, I was already really close with her since for 4 years at that point. And also I got to learn how to blend and learn how to collaborate with another vocalist. And choosing a different instrument the next year for Infinite Music felt like, because I started playing in band in sixth grade. And I wanted to learn more on how to play jazz, basically, because I started jazz in high school, and I was listening to jazz as just a way to listen to new music. But I really found the techniques of how to play those different wind instruments interesting. So I really wanted to learn different genres and how to play that.
Yeah, we're going to listen to some of the material that you have. Mm-hmm. Your duo vocalist in a moment, but I want to probably interject a question for either Jim or Sarah as to what the nature of the Rising Star program is that you were involved with before we play your music.
Mm-hmm. Sure thing. Yeah, our Rising Stars program pairs deserving students with professional music educators and teaching artists with tuition-free individual lessons. So, I think what makes it special isn't just learning the instrument, but it's the mentoring relationship that develops along the way. And Justine can probably speak to that as well, because it the weekly lesson becomes more than just that. It becomes a relationship with a skilled adult who helps them set goals and make progress and, as you said, introduce you to a whole new genre of music. And they also prepare for a final showcase in the spring. We always have a showcase where all the students come together, all of our Infinite Music Rising Stars. And for many of them, it's their first opportunity to perform in front of a live audience. Sometimes when you're the one playing the baritone sax in jazz band, you don't necessarily get to have, the chance to perform solo.
Well, we're going to step into listening to you and your friend. What's her name again? I'm sorry.
Jocelyn.
Ocampo
Mateo.
Okay. Okay, so Justine and Jocelyn doing a vocal duo together when you're in the 10th grade or
you were yes, in the 10th grade? Yes, sophomore
year, yeah. Okay, go ahead, Brad.
Such devoted sisters, never had to have a chaperone, no sir. I'm there to keep my eye on her, caring, sharing every little thing that we are wearing. When a certain gentleman arrived from Rome, she wore the dress and I stayed home. All kinds of we stick together, the same in the rain or sun. Two different faces, but in tight places, we think and we act as one. Those who've seen us know that not a thing can come between us. Many men have tried to split us up, but no one can.
Thank you.
I haven't heard that in so long.
I've forgotten how much fun.
Maybe you listened to it before you told Sarah she could send it over here.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Fred, I want to add and recognize that recording is courtesy of Shiama Studios. Each year, they give us the opportunity to award 5 students from our Rising Stars program to receive the opportunity to record. Our adjudicators or our evaluators, I guess I should say, at the Rising Stars showcases choose who they believe is the one to receive that opportunity. And Justine received it 3 years in a row. One of 5 students. Yeah. So we want to thank Shiama Studios of San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, that was a terrific experience for you, and you were able to have it. It just seems a good example of the teaching aspect of it and the mentorship aspect of it. Justine had the privilege of working with 3 different teachers over the course of her period of time. Chad Rule from Hancock College was a vocal teacher the first time, and then Dave Becker. Worked with her on saxophone. And Dave, of course, is very, very well known, both as a performer and an instructor. And then more recently, a new teacher to us that we brought on and are very excited about, Joseph, and I can't think, his last name is Sadin?
Sadin.
Yeah, Joseph Sadin, who's a graduate of UCLA, and he's teaching guitar for us now. But those are the caliber of teachers that we have involved in the Rising Star program and become mentors to all of these students. We have over 70 teachers right now between the two counties. We are in northern Santa Barbara County as well as SLO County. And those teachers they're retired music educators in some cases. They're performing artists, teaching artists, as we call them. They're really the heart and soul in many respects of that Rising Star program from the standpoint of being mentors.
Yeah. Are there building blocks that you can work with? So school programs that still have music programs available, you can wrap around what you're doing with them? I mean, it may be a difficult challenge.
Well, we do work with the schools. I mean, students come to us through school or community referrals. Our Rising Stars program is an application process. It's pretty involved process. Our selection committee we ask the students, don't we, Justine, pretty in-depth questions of why they feel that they're deserving of this award. It's 10 weeks of one-on-one individual lessons, and then just new this year, because of extra funding, we're able to extend that to those students that we believe through their teacher and work can actually have more. And so when we review the applications, I think we're really asking 2 main questions, you know, where is the need greatest and which students are really ready to benefit from this opportunity right now. We like the cumulative effect of music. So once a student enters, like Justine, we want to keep them in the program and carry them forward. And I would say the majority of our students are in that.
Yeah, we recently have introduced, it was always a 7th through 12th grade program. It was students that were 7th through 12th grade. But we now have a program that involves 2nd through 6th graders. With the idea that we're hoping to get these kids thinking musically at a younger age, so by the time they get to junior high, they already have some foundation. The 2nd through 6th graders get 20 weeks of private lesson in their choice of piano or violin. The 7th through 12th graders, pretty much any instrument they want, and we literally have had banjos to bassoons. We've yet to have an accordion student. I'm waiting for that, but banjos to bassoons. We and of course vocalists too can participate in that program. Those programs.
KCBX has a alumni of the station named Dwayne English that plays accordion. He may be able to help you. you may find that there's a chance for a symbiotic relationship there.
Well, that's good to know. When we get that student that comes along that needs an accordion instructor, we had a hard time finding a banjo instructor, frankly, and we did. And
Jameson
Winstead,
yeah.
Jameson Winstead was one of our first banjo student, and Jameson, when you meet Jameson, you would think that he would be more likely listening to Blink 182. Oh, no. Earl Scruggs, man, Pete Seeger, Woody Guthrie, those are his people. And he wanted to learn how to play clawhammer banjo. And after 2 years of going through the program, his teacher, Daniel Bowman, I said, it sounds like, you know, Jameson's coming back for his last year, and he maybe he's thinking about banjo again. He said, you know, he's teaching me banjo now. He wants to play fiddle. So he took fiddle lessons for his third year, and quite amazing.
It's interesting you had mentioned that, because when you were talking about starting your – extending your program to earlier grades in school, in my experience, the number of students who are maybe only second or third graders or fourth graders that excel in the fiddle or violin generally is remarkable. It seems to be a very good instrument for people to start out with, for reasons I don't understand, and you may be able to shed some light on it. But most of the really good fiddle players I have known, and I've known a lot, started playing violin as young as 3 or 4 years old.
I think you're right. I think the same with piano. I mean, you can speak to
well,
that.
Well, piano and violin are both really great foundational instruments. So that's what our Rising Stars, we call it Rising Stars Piano, but it also includes violin. So that's where we like to start those students. We have, gosh, Jim, how many students do we have in that program now? It's blossomed.
Oh, it's grown from just a handful to, you know, over a dozen now.
Right.
Between second and sixth graders.
And they get 20 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then again, that consistency, we turn them over, the ones that are progressing and passionate about it, into furthering that. But it's really about starting students at a young age. And we work with schools that don't have a music curriculum. You'd be surprised, but there are some that don't. And so we come to them with a full music curriculum that we do after school, starting with enrichment in elementary grades. So we serve K through 12th graders in our programs.
I'm curious about the interest in piano at a young age, because it seems like it's a tough instrument to play if your hands are not fully enlarged to what they'll be like as an adult.
Well, I'm a pianist. I started at a young age, and it was my instrument. It's still my instrument. We really engage students with the instrument that they are most interested in. So very rarely do we find a student that, you know, wants to play trumpet or is so attracted to the trumpet but can't buzz their lips. Or so we really do try to match the student to the instrument that they are passionate about. And we have a lot of students passionate about playing the piano.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
The explanation was interesting, and we're going to lead into Justine, your second experience with saxophone. Mm-hmm. Which I think I shared with you before the program, that was surprising, because saxophone is not what I would classify as a young woman's instrument. So it's remarkable that that's an instrument that interested you. Can you share how you evolved into that a little bit for us?
I started with symphonic band music, like I said, in middle school, and I really liked how I'd have to focus simultaneously on, like, different things about the instrument, like fingering and just, like, the embouchure, which is how you move your mouth and stuff. And when I was introduced to my high school experiences, I fell in love with jazz, like, absolutely. Like, I fell in love with vocal jazz, like a bunch of, like ambient jazz, like, different types of jazz music. And I just really wanted to recreate that sound through, like, my own instrument. And that's why I was really, like, grateful to have Dave Becker as an instructor, because he's one of the best, like, saxophonists in the county by far. And I'm really glad I had an instructor that was very patient with me, especially I had a few, like, bad habits when playing the saxophone for a few years, but I got myself straightened out, thankfully. And, yeah, I'm just great. I really had that experience of, like, being more in tune with my instrument.
But it was a surprising instrument for you, and there were not a lot of young high school women who were playing it.
Yeah, it's a mostly, like, male-dominated field of, like, music, because I think my high school jazz band was, like, mostly men. I think it was, like, one end of, like, 3 or 4 girls in that jazz band. So Yeah.
In my experience, jazz vocals are dominated by women, but jazz instrumentalists mm-hmm. are dominated by men.
Definitely.
So yeah. Good for stepping over the line. Yeah. Let me remind folks that our phone number is 805-781-3875. We would love to hear your calls and maybe questions for my guests or your experience either with Infinite Music and or music in your schools and how it's fit for you or your family. But we're going to step into Justine on saxophone here for a couple of minutes. Delightful.
Again, isn't that awesome?
I was startled when I heard it, mm-hmm. not because I didn't expect good music out of you, I've always surprised when jazz brass instruments are played by women. It's just not that common.
I had the good fortune of seeing her perform it live at our Rising Star Showcase, which, as I remember, I think you closed the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have so many Rising Star kids now. We've gone from having it on one evening now to two evenings.
And three.
And three, that's yes. Right, three evenings. Yeah, that's right. This year we had three. And last year we had three, come to think of it. Right, time flies. But yeah, when you came out, I mean, you killed it. And Dave Becker was in the audience. And Dave Becker had the biggest Cheshire Cat grin on his face. He was so proud of you and what you delivered that evening. It was really quite remarkable because, again, I thought of Justine as, again, more of a vocalist. And this was a whole new aspect of her musical abilities and musical journey that – It was very exciting. It was very exciting to us. It's one of the things that I think, as it's a labor of love for us at Infinite Music, and it's one of the things that really resonates with us is to be able to see that happen, that musical mentorship and that musical opportunity happen for students.
So the program has evolved. Obviously, you have become very successful for the nature of being a small local nonprofit. I suspect it not that it surprises people, but it delights people to find out about the existence of the program.
Yeah, you know, looking back, I mean, we're turning 13 this year. Actually, we're going to be a teenager, and we started very grassroots, very organically, just a heartfelt, you know, give back for the music that a lot of us have had in our lives, our founding board, and we've grown tremendously. And we work very closely with a lot of the band directors from the schools. We've talked to administrators with schools that don't have music curriculum, and everyone understands the importance of it. It's just going about it, and our programs have grown from that. I mean, the Rising Stars is a perfect example where I think one of our local band teachers said, you know, after the learning loss of COVID, there's just a lot of these kids that just did not get any attention. I don't know, you know, who knows how to read music mm-hmm. in my class and who doesn't. I mean, it was that severe. And I'd like to think that our Rising Stars program has certainly given a lot of these students a leg up.
Yeah. You know? We'll talk more about the program in a minute. Tyler, if you'd stay on the line, we're going to take a quick break and we'll put you on the air when we get back. Tyler, who's one of your former Rising Stars, is on the line. We'll listen to him in a couple of minutes. But this is Central Coast Voices, and I'll turn it over to Brad for our bottom of the hour break.
Hola, I'm Maria Hinojosa. Every Thursday afternoon at 2, you can hear Latino USA on KCBX. Latino USA is a Peabody Award-winning radio journal of news and culture from a Latino-Latina perspective. It chronicles how we're living, shaping, and changing the United States of America. Tune in for in-depth reporting, candid conversations, and fascinating stories. Join me for Latino USA Thursdays from 2 to 3 on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, Lenny Kaye, Patti Smith's longtime guitarist. He's made his first solo album finally at 79. We'll talk about his contributions to punk rock through his collaboration with Smith and his anthology Nuggets, the more vulnerable direction of his new album, and the song he recorded under his pseudonym in his teens. Join us.
When wild horses are taken off public land, they are cared for in captivity to the tune of $4 a day per horse.
That's absolutely taxpayer money. That is not done with donations.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Wild, Wild Horses. They're part of the economy too, you know. That story, the rest of the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. Next time on Marketplace.
That's a look ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX with Fresh Air coming up from 3 to 4, Marketplace from 4 to 4:30, and Latino USA follows this program coming up today from 2 till 3. Right now, let's return to Fred Monroe and his guests from Infinite Music here on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Fred.
Thank you, Brad. If you're just joining us, we're talking to folks from Infinite Music, a wonderful youth music program in San Luis and Santa Barbara County. And by the way, Taylor, I'm sorry that I mentioned you as Tyler because your obviously name is Taylor. I'm going to put you on the air here in a moment, so don't go away.
No, don't worry.
Okay. You're on the air live. Don't say anything ridiculous. By the way, I have never met you before, but I have heard you play. You played with the group at the Siren about 2 weeks ago, and you are a spot-on guitar player.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Fred. It means a lot coming from you.
Well, what do you have to say today?
Oh, man. I mean, first and foremost, I'm just so thrilled that you get to speak with Sarah and Jim and, of course, to hear great music coming from Justine. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, your music is terrific. This is the first time hearing it, so It's a really enjoyable listening experience for me. I was involved with Infinite Music since I was, I'm pretty sure I was like 16 or 17. Granted, this was, you know, 2015, 2016, when I was finishing up high school, and Sarah and Jim were just absolutely easy and approachable. And I was so lucky to, you know, be awarded a scholarship from them to study with one of my favorite musicians, the great guitarist Jeff Miley, and I got to perform a solo show to support Infinite Music at the old Bang the Drum Brewery that long ago now. So I have nothing but pure appreciation for what Sarah and Jim are doing with Infinite Music, and it's taken to just great heights going forward, which makes me so happy.
What are you doing with it today?
Say that again, sorry.
What are you doing with your music today?
Oh, man. I feel like everything changes continuously. But nowadays, I'm just a consistent performer and composer, arranger. I work with numerous Grammy-winning/nominated artists left and right. This upcoming weekend, I'm starting my residency at the Stanford Jazz Workshop, where I'll be working with numerous musicians and educators and, you know, getting the chance to perform here and there. So work with students as well. So I'm doing a mixture of that. And I dabble back and forth between, you know, performing as a guitarist in different settings. And then I'm also an experimental composer, so I get to, you know, dabble in many different ways of writing my own music and collaborate with artists left and right. So it's, to say the least, I never feel like it's only one thing.
And I have to share with you, I find it fascinating the way you present that, because you may not realize that most people who are probably part of this program and any music program as youth do not go on to be professional musicians, but you talk about it as if it's just an everyday occurrence for you, and for you it probably is.
Oh, man, you said it.
Not everyone has the opportunity to do that.
I do have a great story. When Taylor played at Bang the Drum Brewery, we had him open for another musician.
It was a fundraising event
that we had there. And Taylor came off the stage and ran up to Sarah and kind of threw his arms around her and said, "Thank you. I know what I want to do with the rest of my life." And here he is. That's great. Talk about paying it forward. Thanks, Taylor.
I mean, it was just so meaningful. And I mean, I remember that day so well. And I mean, honestly, I was filled with so much stage fright. But afterwards, it was just like the relief was there. And it's like, yeah, I think I can make this work.
We couldn't get you off the stage, Taylor. You did just fine.
Oh, man. No, but honestly, I mean, what Sarah and Jim are doing is just so tremendous. And, you know, I think the world of both of them, just for how much work they put into Infinite Music and just contributing to all the schools around the Central Coast, it really is, you know, a blessing for the community.
Taylor, thanks for the call.
Yeah, of course.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye. Do you have a lot of musicians in this program that discover, I know, a calling beyond just learning? I mean, the average student in K through 12 that likes music or plays music does not go on to become a professional musician or composer. But it sounds like you are a remarkable, successful program in that kind of regard.
I would agree with that, Fred. We are. I mean, last year, I think our percentage of our graduating seniors was 95% were going on to pursue music in college. Now, whether they pursue it as a career, we know of one that's pursuing it as a minor, but still plays around with groups. We have another one that's gone on to USC, is very involved in music there. Taylor, of course, is a graduate of University of Texas, North Texas State. Did I say that right? The one in Denton. I know I get corrected about that in jazz studies. But it's, you know, in so much as, again, teaching these students to be better musicians, we're just giving them all those wonderful benefits that music brings. And this is a lifetime talent they'll carry with them.
How about you, Justine?
I'd like to add on to that.
Yeah.
I really like how it's been really beautiful to see how Infinite Music has expanded to even younger groups with like piano and violin, because a lot of piano techniques, those are really integral. Like if that child goes on to being interested in music production, and I found that I had piano lessons when I was younger from my neighbor. They weren't that intensive, but since I had that familiarity, it was really easy for me with that music production course to be familiarized with how to work a keyboard and compose very fluidly, and that's helped a lot. And I think that's really great that a lot of younger students have access to that.
Terrific.
I want to add an observation to that, Justine. The piano becomes an instrument that's very usable for that kind of thing because the player doesn't have to tune the damn thing. You'd like a tuned piano, even.
Yes.
You'd
like a tuned
but
piano.
But the ability to learn that instrument from a standpoint of you can basically hear every note independently and decide how you put things together. I think some of the best composers ever were pianists because it is an instrument that's very usable for composition. I'm surprised that there is as many piano youth in the lower grades as there are violin. Let me rephrase that. I'm surprised there's as many violin players in the lower grades as there are piano players, because playing a non-fretted string instrument when you're like in third or fourth grade.
Difficult.
Is difficult is an understatement, Jim. It really is. So that's nice to see that.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. In our Northern Santa Barbara County program, we do have a beginning and advanced violin classes in our music curriculum with the Guadalupe Union School District, because you look at culture, and majority of them come from Hispanic households. That instrument in particular is very, you know, very prevalent, and then they go on from there to learn the guitar. It's just a great foundational instrument, and you know, the number of students we have in that program is testament to it.
It's grown. We started at the Guadalupe School District's K through 8th grade school district. They really don't have any music in their school district, and we started working with them a few years ago, offering music elective classes after school that kids could sign up for. And it started with ukulele and drumming, I think, and we had a handful of kids. Maybe there was a choir class, but it's grown into trumpet. The violin is one of the more popular ones in terms of the number of kids signing up, and these are third and fourth grade violinists that are taking it all the way through eighth grade, and then going on to high school with it. So it's really kind of an exciting opportunity for those students down in Guadalupe to be able to have those opportunities at a school that doesn't really have any organized music program during the day. They'd like to. They're trying. But right now it's music electives after school through Infinite Music. And we have five teachers that are working down there 5 days a week.
The Hispanic community in Guadalupe is a very tight community of support. And I'm sure that you get a lot of people from word of mouth.
It's a real joy to go down there. We always have a spring concert and sometimes a Christmas concert, and the parents are so supportive. The parents, the grandparents, the aunts and the aunts all come out to see the kids perform, and they fill up their media center at Mary Buren Elementary School with a lot of music supporters for their kids. It's exciting. Yeah. It's wonderful.
We've only got a few minutes left here, and I want to make sure, Justine, we have your guitar recording with vocals that I want to make sure we get in, that we don't have to cut off here. So, Brad, you ready to go? Just a step in. So this, as a student, a senior, you did this?
Yes.
Okay.
This I did last week. Yeah. Yeah.
When I was a single girl, had clothes of the very best kind. Now that I'm a married girl, go ragged all the time. Wish I was a single girl again. Wish I was a single girl again. When I was a single girl, had shoes of the very best kind. Now that I'm a married girl, go barefoot all the time. Wish I was a single girl again. Wish I was a single girl again. A single girl, used to go to the store and buy. Now that I'm a married girl, just rock that cradle and cry. Wish I was a single girl again. Wish I was a single girl. Fella comes a-courting you and sits you on his knee. Keep your eye above the sparrow that flits from tree to tree. You'll never wish you were a single girl like me. Wish I was a single. Again.
In the interest of making sure that we get this correct, we probably need to say that that is a song, not a personal story.
Yeah. It's an old folk song.
It is an old
song. It's an old folk song. And I have to say, as a guitarist,
Wow, you
very nicely done. I mean, the fingering, and there's all kinds of things going on. I mean, for those of you that aren't guitarists, don't realize there's a lot happening in that song. And often when you're playing classical guitar like that, you really need to focus on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But to be able to add the whole vocal part of it into it is, again, great job. Yeah. Great job.
So where do you go from here?
On at Cuesta, I'm not going to be majoring in music, but I really want to major in psychology and then go on to get my master's in social work. But I still want music to be a big part of my life, because I think music as like a big thing in my life has really influenced me to think more like inclusively about other people. And that's really led me like throughout my like short life to create a bunch of connections to like an array of different people. And I think it's really beautiful how music unites a lot of this might be a little bit redundant, but just unites
so many
different people. Yeah. There isn't much to be said about it. And just like, it's something that can transcend like different languages. It can just bring people together no matter what you like identify as or like what you experience. And I really think that's beautiful.
Very well said.
Yeah. Very well said. Mm-hmm. For those people who don't have music as a part of their life, I feel bad for them. Because it really is. And at KCBX, it's not unusual to talk about this because this is primarily a music station, even though we have the great opportunity to do some live programming and some information programming. It's primarily a music station with a diversity of music that you do not hear anyplace else. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the fact that you've all been part of this today. Probably need to make sure that we don't lose track of how people can connect with Infinite Music if they have an interest of either maybe there's youth in their life that would be interested in being part of your program, but also we have, of course, an adult community that may be interested in doing what they can to support the program. So I'll kind of turn it over to Jim and Sarah to tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I mean, there's really so many ways that you know, people can support us. I mean, certainly we are dependent on grants and individual donations and instruments. You can donate at infinitemusic.org/support, and no donation is too small. We have some people giving as in their minds maybe as little as $10 a month. That adds up. We really appreciate that kind of support. I can have Jim speak to this. You can donate an instrument. Instruments are a big part of what we do to give those to a student in need. And then we also have the our retail sales program, where sometimes if it's an instrument of great value, we will resell that, and then those funds go back to support more students in our programs. You can attend and participate in our fundraising events and our student performances. We have these student showcases late April, early May. They're free to the public, and we're always out there with someone wanting to support us. In fact, this Sunday, if you like pancakes and breakfast burritos, the Grange Hall is going to have a pancake and burrito breakfast on Sunday, July 12th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., and that's at the Grange Hall in San Luis Obispo at 2880 Broad. You can come by there and say hello to us.
We'll be there.
Have some pancakes and burritos. And just become an advocate for music education in your community, and you can talk to us, and we can tell you how to go about that.
Yeah, I just want to interject really quickly about the instrument donation program, and really I want to thank KCBX. For the last few years has been incredibly supportive of our spring instrument drive, to the point of allowing people to drop their tubas off in your front office. And I'm not kidding.
Not too many people have an extra tuba at home.
Yeah, collecting dust in the corner. Yeah. But it's really been great, the support we've gotten from KCBX, and not only being a drop-off point for instruments in the springtime, but also just getting the word out to – people in the two counties about what we do and who we are, and it makes a really big difference. We have a lot of really great connections through that instrument drive program with people coming by and meeting with us. But thanks to KCBX for that support over the years.
Well, as I often talk about at the end of the show, I talk too much, and so I always make sure my guests have a chance to kind of be the last word of the program. Justine, I'm going to start out with you. What do you want to make sure that people remember about this program or about what we've talked about that they can take away from the program? The program is recorded and will be available for people to listen to the entire program, so some people may listen and think about what you have to say about music.
I'd just like to thank Infinite Music for all the support these past few years and how Infinite Music has helped me become a better musician through different instruments and through different experiences. And I'm really glad that I've had instructors that have been really patient and very caring throughout my process as a musician and being non-judgmental, being completely supportive of my journey. And I'm really glad I had these resources to me. Yeah.
Are you still playing the saxophone?
Yes. I want to audition for Ron McCarley. I think that's his name at Cuesta. Yeah. For his jazz band. And I really want to be in that band. So I already have connections to some of the people there. So maybe they'll put in a good word for me, but I'll see if I can audition.
That's good because it's a very well-regarded jazz program.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yes, it is. Yeah. It's fabulous.
Jim.
Well, you know, I think I want to speak to something that Justine said so well, which is the social aspect of music. And I think to myself, and I think, Sarah, you know what I'm going to talk about is our friend John from Slow High. I mean, we're all aware of the academic benefits and the way music rewires your brain and all of those things, how important all that is. But the social aspect of it, I've had the good fortune of being able to go to a lot of music classes and a lot of band classes to recruit students for our programs and to talk to the band classes directly and the directors. And you really, when you walk into a band room and there's 50, 60 kids in there, I came when the B Instrumental program and Dave Becker, Daryl Voss, and Dylan Johnson were there, that jazz band that you guys had it, you could just feel the connection of those kids. I mean, it was like they were all thinking as one musically. They were all focused on what they were doing and listening so closely. And I John from Slow High is an example of a young man who came to us compellingly, cripplingly shy, and but he could play the oboe. And when he played the oboe, he did well, but after that he just went into a shell. And he was with our program for 3 years, and I had the good fortune of hosting him. He actually played down at Hancock College at our Rising Star Showcase. The period of time from John being a sophomore to where he is today, it's like two different people. He literally walked up to me and said, "Mr. Van Gogh, I'd like to say a few words before I perform." And it was like, have at it, John. I mean, this was a kid who couldn't even look me in the eye the first time I met him. And he went out and talked about music and how important it was and thanked a number of people. And it was quite remarkable. So the power of music. It's a lot of things you don't necessarily think about. But socially, I think it's incredibly important for a lot of kids that maybe don't necessarily fit into some other aspect of it. They create their own tribe through music.
Sarah.
That was so well said, I think what Jim said, because we see that transformation every day. I mean, we just do. So many students, so many stories. But I guess I would close, Fred, with, music's the vehicle, but our destination is really helping young people discover confidence and purpose and possibility. And I think Justine spoke to that so well, that we're not here just to make these students into these fine musicians. We certainly are working with them in that aspect, but we really want to make sure that no young person really misses the opportunity, to discover who they can become through music.
Well put.
Thank you.
I would add one thing as you were saying that it occurred to me. And that is, we have a lot of struggles in our world over language these days and cultural background. The music scale for an African song and the music scale for a Mexican song and the musical scale for something from the Orient is all the same.
It sure is. It sure is. Yeah. It unites us. It's community. We need more of it.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're part of this program. And I'm delighted that we got to share this with everyone today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're welcome. This has been Central Coast Voices, and we have a couple of minutes left here, but I want to make sure I get this information in. Chris Kington Barker will be joining on as guest next week. She is almost always on the week after my schedule. And glad to be part of supporting what she's doing. Her guest next week is Cheryl Wayland, who's the Senior Partner of Special Initiatives and Partnerships at SAGE, the county's largest and oldest organization dedicated to improving the lives of LGBTQ plus older adults. They will be discussing something that's unusual when you think about it, that it's the advanced care directives are designed for people as they age. The nature of the advanced care directives is different for the LGBTQ X community or plus community. And Chris will be meeting with Cheryl Wayland to talk specifically about that particular challenge on the Central Coast. She'll be our host next week. I'll be back with you in about a month. It's been delightful to be part of the program today. I want to remind you that Central Coast Voices is a production of KCBX Public Radio. The ability to do this program would not exist for the hosts who put it on without an incredible network of people at KCBX that make sure it's available to us. We have four hosts that rotate through the month. It's delightful to be part of this production. Thank you to Brad Kyle, who is our in-studio engineer and has been supportive of us for a very, very long time. If you want to reach Central Coast Voices with comments, feedback, or any other information, you can reach us at voices@kcbx.org. It's the best feedback tool we have for you. I want to remind folks that this program will be available on KCBX Live, on KCBX Online, usually by a couple of hours from now.
It'll also be on the app, too, Fred.
We have the brand new app.
The brand new KCBX app will be up on that as well.
Be the first one on your block to have the app.
Hopefully not the first one.
This has been Central Coast Voices. Thank you to Sarah Mason, Jim Benko, and Justine Ruby for being part of this program today. We hope you've enjoyed it. It's always nice to have music as part of our program. This has been Central Coast Voices.